The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound, like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked, saying, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John 14, 23 to 31, the Gospel lesson which I just read. The sermon title is, "Who Loves Jesus?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests? And when life doesn't go the way that you expect, you abandon God and his church? These are the questions that are at the root or heart of our gospel lesson this morning. They were important questions for the first Christians on the first Pentecost, as thousands of them were converted to Christianity in one day. Did they become Christians to further their own interests? Or did they get baptized because they loved Jesus? And these are also important questions for all of you today, as you remember your baptism through the story of the thousands of baptisms of Pentecost. And these are also important questions as you may remember your confirmation, in which you confirmed your baptism. Again, the questions: do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests? And when life doesn't go the way you expect, you abandon him and his church? Well, these are important questions, but they're also hard questions to understand. So let's turn to an analogy or a comparison with something you are more familiar with, and then these questions might begin to make sense. Carla, our three daughters and son-in-law, and I attended a wedding in October 2023 in Sonoma County, here in California, of course. Everything was beautiful and lovely, from the wedding itself to the reception at the country club. Even the weather was perfect. The wedding was a special one for me because the bride was my niece, whom I've known since she was an infant, and whom I've seen grow and mature into a very lovely person and a devout Christian. As we watched the bride and groom together that day, it was obvious, and we know, they really do love each other. Humanly speaking, they are an excellent match. And spiritually speaking, they're also united by their love for Jesus. But, as you all know, I hardly need to tell you, not all marriages run their course till death us do part. Sometimes, either the bride or the groom, or maybe both, do not have true love. Instead, they marry to further their own interests. And when life doesn't go the way they expect, they abandon their spouse and their marriage. Now, this happens so frequently today because of our laws that allow it, that you can't just expect a beautiful wedding to hold a couple together. They both have to love each other for it to work for the long haul. And that means, as we say in the words of the wedding, whether they will be rich or poor, whether they will have good health or poor health, whether they will be happy or unhappy. Now, those words are there in the marriage rite to give you the criteria of true love. True love first waits until marriage, and then true love endures in marriage until death us do part, or it really isn't true love. Now, that's something you understand. It's in your experience. One way or the other, you've seen it around you. So now let's get back to our questions. Do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests, and when life doesn't go the way you expect, you abandon him and his church? Now, anybody who is sincere in their faith has to be concerned about the fact that they might fall away from their faith someday. How do you know that you have true faith and true love in Jesus? You know, there are many people that pledge loyalty to Jesus and later in life renounce him and the church. I often think of my confirmation class. How many of those kids are still going to church today or have any interest in Jesus? Could that happen to you, that you abandon the faith in Jesus? Now, Lutherans do not believe in the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints that is found in some Reformed churches. This is known more popularly as the doctrine of once saved, always saved. So those churches and believers believe that once you have committed your life to Jesus, you can absolutely never fall away again, no matter what you do. Lutherans believe, based on the scriptures, that you can renounce your faith, and this often happens, especially in countries where it's easy to be a Christian, or where Christians are a cultural majority, which they kind of are in the United States, at least in a very nominal way. So how can you know whether or not you will fall away from your faith, and so then falling away from faith be condemned with all the unbelievers? And how can you know whether or not your love of Jesus is genuine? The answer to these questions, and I wouldn't ask them unless I had an answer, is found in verse 23. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." It's very simple, but also profound. It's a profound statement about the love of God and God's presence in your life. And the answer is simple: keep Jesus' words. Now, this word "keep" in the Greek does not simply mean obey, as some translations falsely state, although obedience is included. Keep Jesus' words means that you preserve them, and you do that personally. It means that you first learn his words, you remember his words, and you take them to heart. It means you try your best to obey them when they are law, and you rely on them for comfort and assurance when those words are gospel. And of course, you believe in them. And how Jesus says this is very important. He did not say, "If you really love me, you will keep my words." He didn't say that. That's accusatory. It's demanding. What Jesus is saying here is, if you're ever concerned about this question, here is how you can know if you really love me, do you keep my words or do you ignore them? If you willingly and gladly receive God's words, these words that Jesus just said are words of comfort and reassurance, because they tell you that you have true faith and love in God. But if you ignore God's word or close your heart to that word, they're words of warning and peril. The red flags should go up. Pentecost Sunday comes once a year, but the Holy Spirit comes to you each day when you learn God's word, remember it, and take it to heart, when you keep it. The Holy Spirit came into your heart at your baptism and continues to come via the absolution, preaching, and the Lord's Supper. Even so, may your love of Jesus bring the Spirit to you through his word and sacraments until his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.